I want to read a passage from Isaiah 9 and 5. Isaiah 9 and 5 says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." And then it speaks about the Lord, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So I wonder, there's things that hinder us from engaging in this wrestle. Why are we not putting on the whole armor? Why are we not, you know, there's a great deal of sobriety that needs to take place during this battle. Why are we not being more serious about this? So the fear of the enemy could be one. Maybe we're just not sure of ourselves. Maybe we're not sure of our message. Maybe we have love of the world in our hearts. Maybe we're unwilling to crucify some desires that we have. Or maybe, frankly, we're just comfortable in the enemy's territory. We're just comfortable here. I don't want to stir things up. I think we're too comfortable. But that comfort should come inside, like God should give us comfort, and then we should go and engage and do battle. I'm here today because somebody stepped out and preached the gospel to me. And sometimes I think we're timid, like, oh, what will people think of us? What if someone didn't like us? Or what if someone even hated us for our beliefs? I think we need to increase our mental toughness. I have not met Mr. Riviera, but I'm assuming he's been through some battles. And I hope he can stir us up, and I hope he can encourage us. So yeah, is the enemy scared of us? He should be. The enemy should tremble. We should make him tremble. We should be commandos. Mighty men and women of the Lord. And again, speaking the truth in love, that is a huge key. I think that's one thing that Charlie was able to do. He was, you know, it says the truth first and then in love. We shy away from speaking the truth because of fear of man. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, Paul once again is encouraging us to endure hardness as a good soldier. As I was preparing a little bit this morning, I just noticed over and over it, Paul speaking about fighting the good fight. Endure hardness as a good soldier. There's another account where it speaks about the battle or something being good. You know, this is. You know, you don't want to think of warfare as good, but this is a good fight. This is a good battle, and it's worth our engagement. So is our Christianity just a profession? Or is there action? You know, that saying, actions speak louder than words, does that apply to us? So I just might close up here a little bit and read. I wasn't really planning to read this, but I was looking over and I thought, wow, there's a lot of good stuff in here. So I'd just like to read this together. Revelations 19, verse 1. says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 'Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.'" I pray that we are there. I pray that this is our song. "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." What if someone was breaking into our house, trying to harm our family? Are men, are we just going to be passive? And I'm not saying like take a gun to them, but what are we doing? There is someone, the great whore, Satan, is coming after our children, coming after our souls, and we're just panty waste. What in the world? And again they said, "Alleluia," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Forever and ever. We're going to see that smoke rising up forever and ever, and we're going to be on the side of victory. We are going to be victorious. We better get our act together. We better yield that sword. You better know your Bible. You better know that thing like the back of your hand. "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God and sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen. Alleluia.' And a voice came out of the throne, saying, 'Praise our God, and all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, fear him. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come." Caleb mentioned this. But that marriage isn't going to come without a great battle and great preparation. You see these marriages that people, it's such a big thing to people, and it's so good. You see all the detail that people put into it. Just the detail. Because they're joyful and they're happy and they want to. They are prepared. "His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God, Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I pray that we have this name written like all over our being. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to finish the chapter, but I think I should. "I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that set on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yeah. So there's a lot of talk about the mark of the beast, you know, and ooh, we don't want that, which is true, we don't want it. But do we have the mark of the Lord on our hearts? Are we his? Are we bearing his toil and his pain? Where are our battle scars? Do we even have any? I think we have some. But I think we have a long way to go. So let's not faint.